Welcome to Thanks for the Memories, the only podcast that asks, is that a government-created chip in your brain, or are you just happy to see me?
I like that that worked out.
Yeah, I like saying it in a sexy way. As sexy as my voice, I'll bring my voice down a few octaves.
There we go. Yep, this is for all you freaks.
Because this is these are another couple of horny episodes,
dude,
for me.
Yeah. We'll get into it.
Anyway.
You want to say your name?
Yeah, I guess I should say my name. My name's Kate.
Let's do it as sexy as we possibly can.
Hi, my name is Kate. I'm a Libra on the cusp of Scorpio. And my pronouns are she, her, they, them, whatever you like. I'm a bottom. No, I live in South Philly, and
same thing.
And it's a hellmouth because it's too hot. And I'm joined by,
I'm Leslie, and my pronouns are they, them. And I'm in the hellmouth of Boston, MA, where I am literally sweating under my boobs. I hope that does something for you. I've got kind of a niche sexual thing going on.
Probably not that niche, honestly.
Under boob sweat?
Boob sweat?
There's a lot of boob sweat freaks,
man,
out there.
I think there. I am polyamorous, and I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, I imagine you have a lot more insight than I do.
There's someone in my house right now that would be interested.
Called out. Hello.
My tech support. My tech support loves poop sweat.
You're ready.
This is going to be a buck wild episode.
Oh, who doggy?
It's been hot. My vibes are literally, it's so hot. I'm not going outside again until like September 15th. I think
that's when it starts to cool off.
I don't know. I'm just so fucking over it.
It sucks.
Yeah.
Someone told me
it really sucks.
A friend of mine tweeted that the air was so like humid, it was chewy.
Ew.
And I was like, that's absolutely perfect. Like, it is. It feels like I am swimming in a sauna literally every time I leave I have a window AC in my bedroom that is just like a chugging.
Yeah. I mean, I have central air and it's chugging.
And it's still like insane.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the worst.
I fucking hate it. I'm gonna have to move to Canada or Maine, and not for like not like, oh, I'm moving to Canada for political reasons. I'm moving to Canada because
I'm fucking
too hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I did there. I think it was last summer. I was like Googling what is the coldest city on earth. It's somewhere in like Russia, I think, or something like that.
We're all going to live this small town in Russia. Receives this huge influx of weirdos.
Like, Ivanka? Who is that? Oh my god. But yeah, I had to turn off my window AC to record this, and we gotta wrap this up soon, I swear to god.
Alright, this is gonna be a quick episode. These are horny episodes. Good night.
Dude. Oh my god. Yeah, we'll get into it.
Do you have other vibes other than it's hot?
My only other vibe that I want to say, I have a couple things that I want to say up front because I keep tweeting about it and nobody will listen to me. I obviously support the SAG strike. The writers and actors need to get paid. Fuck David Zaslav.
Yes.
And B, y'all, go watch My Adventures with Superman. That show fucking rules. It's a new Superman cartoon on Adult Swim, and it's family friendly-ish. I would say like teen.
I'm out.
No, I'm kidding. So cute. And it's like, it reminds me of those like old, like Young Justice or whatever, those old cartoons. And like, I don't fuck with superhero stuff. You know this about me. I fucking hate that shit. But I have never been more enamored and charmed by a bit. They made Superman a like nice himbo again.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
I didn't know that I needed that in my life, but I absolutely needed that in my life.
Yeah, I like that.
So please go support the writers and actors and give them money to their strike fund, and then go watch My Adventures with Superman.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hell yeah.
Speaking of speaking of himbos.
We got himbos galore. We got two Xanders. We got Spike. We got Riley.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord. So, yes, do you want to kick off the replacement?
Oh, yeah. I almost forgot what I do. What do I do?
You have a very important role.
I know.
Here at okay. Bangs HQ.
So, we're in season 5, mm-hmm. and it's the best season as far as I'm concerned.
Do you know why? Because it's the year 2000.
Ooh, yeah.
You're in the year 2000.
So we've hit a new, we've hit a new era.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah, this is Buffy in its stride, I think.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Like, it's funny, it's moving, it's scary, it's horny.
I had
anyway.
A literal jump scare in this episode.
Yeah.
I had a literal jump scare, so we'll get to it.
So, okay, this is the first one we're watching is The Replacement, made in October 10th, 2000.
I love it.
When a crafty demon out hunting Buffy accidentally catches Xander in his sights, not his sights, but whatever. A mysterious Xander double is born. Two Xanders aren't better than one, as the evil double quickly takes over Xander's identity, not evil, fooling everyone, including Buffy, and starts living Xander's life with a flourish.
I like that they, even the plot synopsis recognizes that two Xanders are not better than
no,
one.
No, I know.
Even the plot synopsis is like, we know.
Too many Xanders.
We get it. Too many Zans.
Yeah.
So this is interesting.
Oops,
so,
all Xanders.
Oops, all Xanders. Oh, no. Oh, discontinue it.
Yeah.
But this is interesting because Nicholas Brendon does have a real-life twin brother named Kelly Donovan Schultz, I think is their, like,
what
last name?
That's a lot of
so,
names.
I know. So when they are on screen together,
mm-hmm.
they are the twins. It's two.
Wait, really?
It's not Xander. It's not them doing like a double fake.
Information.
I know, because I tried really hard because I knew that going in.
Yeah, because otherwise this is a really good like CGI for 2000.
Right. Yeah, that's why I was like. You know, so I knew that going in. So, but I was trying to like figure out because, like, sometimes you can tell twins apart, you know, even if they're like identical, you can tell maybe one of them has like, I don't know, their hair does something different. I literally could not tell who was who.
Yeah. Other than, one dresses like Patrick Bateman and one dresses like Scooby. Or not Scooby, Shaggy.
Shaggy.
Not Scooby-Doo, Shaggy.
Yep.
But don't you think the evil, not evil, but the confident one has a little Patrick Bateman in him?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like that was the direction.
Yeah, he was a little too calm and collected. It was kind of freaking me out.
Yeah, and then the other Xander is the most Xandered. Like, he's wearing the most ridiculous, like, sort of high school era Xander outfit.
Yeah, just a t-shirt, and then on top of that is a open button down with just like the most unknowable pattern
and
you've ever
like
seen
corduroys
in your life
or something insane.
It's got like a new color. It's blorange. Nobody has ever seen a color like that in the history
it's
of humanity.
True. It's true.
But, okay, so up top we should say it's not a clone, or I guess. Okay, so the deal is the stick that the bad guy has separates out aspects of a person.
Yeah.
So they are both Xander, and one half is like, confident on top of it, adulting hashtag Xander. And then the other half is like goofy, piss pants scared baby Xander.
Right. And the demon who has this tool is a sophisticated demon by the name of Toth.
They make that distinction, which I think is really funny, because it's basically how they classify It's basically how they classify serial killers on Criminal Minds.
Mm-hmm.
I like sophisticated, like focused, like using tools. And it's like, okay.
Right. He's like weird... the ice pick killer. Or like,
yeah, like yeah. weird profiling going on here.
It's also like how they can tell like apes from other mammals or something. It's like, oh, right. This is a very high level mammal because he uses tools, but like,
yeah, he like used a stick or something,
but it's not a tool, it's like a magic wand.
Yeah,
I don't know if that's
just
a tool.
A rod.
Is that a tool?
and it's funny that they've never made that distinction before, even though we have met demons and otherworldly creatures that have used tools. Like there was a lizard guy when they were at prom or whatever, or during Slayer Fest 98, who had like bombs and shit. Like this is not new information to us.
Yeah. So I don't know why he was particular. I thought he was very, when they made the distinction, he's very sophisticated because he wears like a full length black gown of robes.
Yeah, look like Professor Snape. I love it. His makeup was super cool, though.
Yeah, he's like a lava face.
Yeah, so it looked like it was glowing from the inside. I don't know how they did that. It was so cool.
It was cool. Yeah, he looked like when magma is like...
Yeah, like peeks out between like parts that have like rock that has cooled down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But his name is Toth, and he goes to visit Giles first at the... at his new place of business.
It's called the Magic Box.
Yeah.
And I guess I just forgot. But that's
yeah,
like
I just thought it was
dumbest...
called the Magic Shop.
Yeah. It's just the dumbest name for a business. Like, yeah, let's go to the Magic Box.
Yeah, it definitely is open for a lot of like funny kind of double entendres. You know?
I don't even think I was thinking about that. I just
well, I always am.
Just,
there's like the Toth brought his magic stick into the magic box.
Yeah, his like big rod.
It's big rod. Yeah, didn't they call him Rod Boy at one point?
I think at one point, you're right. Like, oh my God.
He had his magic sophisticated rod.
Yeah. His disco stick.
Yeah.
At the magic box. So yeah, that's the first encounter of this. And then Giles was like, yeah, he's just basically trying to say like he smelled really bad.
Oh yeah. Despite being sophisticated, which I feel like is
yeah,
not,
he like stunk like shit. Which yeah. I think it's like so like okay, whatever. So the only place in Sunnydale that could possibly smell that bad is the city dump.
But not the sewers, not the millions of miles of sewers.
Yeah, seriously, like, just the city dump. I guess we've never seen the city dump
before.
We haven't.
And
that's a new location.
That's where Spike goes to get lamps to nest in his crypt.
And mannequin parts so he
and
can
mannequin
like
mannequin parts.
Oh my God.
So he can
we'll
have
talk
a...
about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever see that TV show The Fall with Gillian Anderson where she's like hunting a serial killer? He has like mannequin parts.
Oh God.
Made me think of that.
No. What I was thinking of cuz he like puts clothes on it and like a wig. I was thinking of that episode of King of the Hill where Bobby learned practices kissing.
It could also be based on the movie Mannequin.
Oh yeah,
with
maybe
Kim
he was
Cattrall,
hoping if you like
in Philadelphia.
Yeah, is that set in Philadelphia?
Yeah.
Damn,
at
I didn't know that.
The old whatever was. Philadelphians are yelling at me right now.
Oh no.
Whatever Macy's was before it was Macy's. I forgot
Burdine's?
What it's called. No, it's like a special Philly. There's a giant pipe organ in the Macy's in Philly. And I know I'm friends with a friend of the person who repairs this pipe organ.
Oh,
that's like
cool.
One of his jobs. It's so weird. I have to look it up because I feel like this is a ridiculous thing for me to live here and not and remember not know, the name yeah. of the building. But yeah, it's hilarious that he is out like collecting things.
Collecting
in the dump.
Arms.
Arms and yeah. Oh, the Wanamaker building. All right. Anyway.
Oh, okay.
Now we can go back to normal. Yeah.
Case closed.
Case closed. The other like subplot of this is that like is like all about Xander's class status.
Yeah.
Amidst his friends, which is interesting. Like, I guess his parents, it's weird that like this doesn't come up that often. Like every once in a while he talks about it, but it's like his parents are both like alcoholics and they fight a lot.
Yeah, and it's played up for laughs.
Yeah, it's not which funny. Is like,
no, it's so dark.
It's like, so dark.
Yeah, like, so yeah, in like the opening scene, it's like Xander, Anya, Riley, and Buffy are like watching a movie.
Worst double date.
Yeah, first of all, like, ew, never. And then, yeah, so his parents obviously stumble in and like stuff is breaking and they're obviously like getting physical with each other, which yeah. is like so uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's not
and I was
good.
Just like, I can't believe, but yeah, I guess that used to be a thing. Like to play up drunkenness for humor.
I guess it's like a honeymooners thing, which is like, yeah, you know, not or of like that era.
yeah. Or even in like I'm trying to think of other things too, but there's definitely been situations that have been that's happened. So I'm just like, I don't know. Man, we got away with a lot of shit in yeah. the like early 2000s and 90s or whatever.
Yeah, for sure. And then, yeah, and then he's like, okay, I have to get out of here. So he starts apartment hunting and, like, immediately finds the most expensive apartment in town. I don't
insane.
Know why. With, like, a leasing agent, and he has to have good credit, and he has to pay first, last, security, and a fee?
Yeah, and a cleaning fee.
Which is, like, that's, like, New York now.
Yeah, seriously. Or like, yeah, like L.A.
It doesn't seem like it would be Sunnydale in no. the early 2000s. But what do I know? I know nothing of Sunnydale real estate.
Yeah. That is my favorite band, though.
Oh, yeah. You're an emo band from this area. Sunnydale real estate. Someone,
dude,
please.
Oh, my God.
Please.
Yes.
Please make.
I'm begging you.
A meme. Of Sunnydale real estate for us.
So good.
Maybe we could work on that. But yeah, and then the other thing that's hilarious is he used a fake fancy British guy named Albert as like his voice to like as a fake reference. And it's like, dude, you have a fancy British man. You could use a like, real one. His name is Giles.
Yeah, his name is Rupert and he's right in front of you. I don't know if Giles would. I mean, Giles is obviously like vaguely lawful good.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he would be on board with that.
I guess. I mean, I don't think that it's like Xander trying to do anything bad. He's just like, I got to move out of my parents' house.
Right.
I hope Giles isn't that classist.
Yeah. Hopefully he would, you know, Xander would appeal to his heart.
Yeah.
Know?
I mean, he's a small business owner now. Yeah. He's a working man again.
Oh my God. I don't know what it was, but Anya really rubbed me the wrong way this episode.
Yeah,
just being so demanding and like just saying like I want nice things and blah blah blah. And then like even when Bizarro World Xander gets the apartment.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, they get the apartment and they're both sitting there. They're sitting on the floor.
They have
two
very
pouches
comfy couch.
Behind them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like seating literally up to 7 people. And I'm like, why are you on the floor? This is absolutely insane.
Yeah.
Well,
and
but
it's
yeah,
interesting.
Even,
oh, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, even while they're sitting there and he's got the apartment for her, he's done everything that she asks. She still is like, when are we going to get a car? And now
and
I want
a boat.
And a puppy and a baby and like all this stuff. I'm right. Like, oh my God, honey.
And luckily, like, I mean, you think it's a good misdirect because you think he is Like when he's like, I know what it's like. Like, I think I know more than you think I know about like what it's like to suddenly be a human. Because you think he's Toth, the demon. But, you know, like because he's the empathetic, sensitive Xander, he's like, I understand what's going on. You're scared because you got hurt. And you never used to get hurt because you were a like a, you know, 500-year-old demon.
Yeah, an immortal like being.
Yeah.
And now you're a human and like, yeah, the lifespan. She says something like, I'm only gonna live like 50 years. And it's just like, oh, okay.
Yeah, when she's like, I'm dying. And he's like, what? She's like, yeah. I mean, eventually. Yeah. Like this is like her first. I mean, she's, yeah, like, you know, we've said before, she's learning to human from, like, the worst possible person.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, she thinks these are all, like, the things that she's supposed to, like, want and need as a human being. And, like, she doesn't need them, but she doesn't really understand that.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah, it's just, I don't know.
But she is very annoying in this episode.
So annoying.
You can't really help it.
Yeah.
I want to take a minute to talk about the fact. So Riley and Buffy are like making out, and Dawn says she knows someone who died because she knows, it's like she knows someone who died because she choked on her boyfriend's tongue, which is like the kinkiest thing I have ever heard.
I knew you were gonna say that.
And also like,
I was like, this is a Kate moment.
Yeah,
got
I was
Kate,
like, oh.
Kate Terry written all over it.
But like,
like how big? Okay, not even how, I mean, yes, how big, but how long?
That would be both of, I think that would be like a way for both parties to like annihilate though. Because if your tongue went down someone's throat so far that person choked on it, your tongue would also be out of your mouth for a really long time. Your mouth would be open. I don't know. Like, that person couldn't bite down. Well, it wouldn't kill you.
Yeah. I'd just be like, uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You'd be a bit parched.
It's a crazy way to kill someone, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
You'd have to have, like, a Gene Simmons tongue.
Oh, God. Yeah. But also, I guess it depends on how long. Because you could just, like, breathe through your nose.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's what they tell you when, you know.
Yep. When you're treading water and you're worried that you're going to sink.
Yeah.
Yep. I did a video when I was in grad school. This is a very grad school project, but I did a video where I put my tongue on the table and saw and like tried to see how long I could keep it out of my mouth without it like wanting to go back in.
Oh.
Then it's gross. Your tongue like really wants to go back in your mouth.
Yeah.
And I did get rather parched. But but yeah, so I thought that was a fun thing to think about for a while.
I'm sure. One time I fell asleep, or I must have like in the middle of the night, my mouth fell open while I was sleeping. Uh-huh. And then when I woke up, my tongue felt like, you know, when you don't use a kitchen sponge for like 4 months.
Yeah.
And it's just really crackly. That's literally what my tongue felt like.
No.
And I had to collect all the saliva in my mouth to like try to reconstitute it.
Oh, that's horrible.
It was the worst, like the most, I mean, like, just the most uncomfortable sensation probably I've ever felt in my entire life.
It must have been scary, like when you wake up at first, you know.
Yeah,
those, like,
you don't know what's happening,
feelings.
And it's like, why do I have this like big lump of like concrete in my mouth?
Right, and you're like, oh shit, that's my tongue.
That's my fucking tongue. Oh god.
Yeah, I don't. I wouldn't. I do not like that.
Mm-mm. Bad.
Not
don't
fun.
Do it.
But yeah, so, you know, if you're making out with someone for a really long time, just make sure every once in a while, put your tongue back in your own mouth.
Yeah, just keep
just
it there,
check
you know.
On the boundaries of tongues. Like,
yeah.
Okay, it's back in my mouth. Okay, we're good.
Yeah, yeah. That's self-care.
Yeah, I agree. I thought this episode, I think, see, one of the reasons why season five is like in its stride so much is this episode has a lot of really fun Buffy callbacks, like really good ones. Like Xander at one point says to Willow, wait till you have an evil twin. And like, if you've been watching the show for a long time, you're like, she did have an evil twin. And she's like, I did. I thought I handled it fine.
Yeah. She's like, I did okay.
Yeah. And then like Riley says to Buffy that she has a horrible ice skating movie obsession, which like makes you think of her ice skating with Angel.
Oh, yeah. Or the fact that her like dad always took her to the ice show.
Oh, yeah. To the Disney princess ice show or something. I don't know.
There's another one where Xander says, oh, he says, Buffy, you've been to hell. Do they have one bedrooms there? And he's referencing when Buffy ran away to LA and then she wound up in that like hell dimension.
Yeah.
That's literally.
This is a great episode for callbacks if you're like a Buffy fan and you remember all of those.
Not big enough to where if you are just starting or like brand new, you wouldn't like, you wouldn't feel left out. You know what I mean? I like that a lot. It's for the like older fans, Easter but it's eggs. Not exactly. Yeah. It's for the diehards, but it's not distracting the new people.
Yeah.
I love that.
So we find out that the rod that Toph has is called the Ferula Jimena, which doesn't turn Toph into a fake Xander. It splits Xanders. And so,
yeah, so the entire time they're convinced that one of them must be Toph in, in disguise, but in a Xander suit. Yeah.
Which is cool. Like, it's a good misdirect because like also Xander, you know, it's like you see Xander milling around looking like too fancy and too together. So you're like, well, this is like a person or a demon trying to pretend to be Xander and doing a bad job. But it's actually like those are Xander's most like adult qualities.
Yeah, those are things that he is capable of. You know?
You know, like like at the beginning, obviously the goal is like, oh, find demon Xander and get him. But then they realize that like, oh shit, if you kill that Xander, you kill both Xanders. Imagine like being goofy Xander and killing fancy Xander and then being like, fuck.
Yeah, like, oh shit.
I just killed myself.
We messed up.
Yeah. That's really scary. Like, if that was in a horror movie or like a thriller, that'd be so scary.
Right? You're like running out the, you know, running out the clock, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, it does seem like a kind of convoluted way to kill Buffy, but whatever.
Yeah. And right? You know, at this point, people are just throwing spaghetti at the wall, seeing what sticks.
They've been trying for this is five seasons of trying to kill Buffy. And
they've had 5 years of figuring out like, well, that didn't work. I'm gonna get this Ferula Jimena wand. Yeah. Rod. Do you know what Ferula Jimena means?
No.
So Ferula means like
Latin.
It is Latin, yeah. So Jimena, like Gemini.
Latin
for twin, yeah.
Oh.
So it's literally, and Ferula is like stick. So it literally means
Gemini
like
Gemini stick.
Like, yeah, like the double rod.
Baby. Twin sticks.
Twin sticks, yeah.
Which
it is a twin stick shooter.
The double rod is what Anya wants at the end.
Oh my God.
Yeah, like, you can have an episode where people get split and then there's two of you.
And not even think about it, yeah.
And right, and somebody in the episode wants to fuck both of them. Or you want to fuck yourself.
Yeah. Would you?
Of course. Would I want to fuck myself? Sure.
Yeah.
Would you?
Nah. I mean, no.
Would you and your twin want to fuck someone else? Again, oh, I say, of course.
Maybe we could like Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, you can. Yeah. It's funny because you know that Xander would be like homophobic about it, which was so.
Oh,
stupid.
Yeah. He's like, yeah,
get it together, dude. It's you.
Yeah.
Like, it's just you.
It's just you.
It's not another guy.
I also like that they Xander, one of the Xanders says something about like, oh, yeah, we're completely identical. We checked everything in the car.
Yeah. Like hypothetically, they looked at each other's dicks.
Yeah, right.
Not gay. No homo. No, but not, can I see your dick?
It's for science. It's for magical science.
Yeah. This Ferula Jamina got me going crazy.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, is there anything else in this episode?
I thought it was fucking hysterical when Spike started cheering the demon on while they're fighting in the dump.
Oh, yeah.
He's got the fake mannequin arm in his hand, and he's, like, waving it around like a We're Number One finger.
Yes.
He's like, yeah, go get him! Like, he doesn't know who he is. He doesn't know the situation. He just knows that if the Slayer is about to get dunked on, he is 100% there for it.
Yeah, he's there for it, because yeah, he can't do it himself at the moment.
Yeah.
Oh, and then I guess there's, like, the entirely huge downer of the end, where Xander and Riley are talking about Buffy.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, which is like, you know, leads exactly into the next episode. But it's like, you know, Buffy's great. She's wonderful. But she doesn't
love me.
She's
the one.
Yeah, she's the one, but she doesn't love me. Which isn't the one.
Yeah, then. That's not what that means. Like, and also, there has not been a single indication that what he says is true.
No. Like, he's doing like a weird, like, and we can talk about this in the next episode, but he does almost exactly the same thing Angel does to her.
Yeah. Yeah. Insane.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, let's talk about it. Why don't you tell us all about Out of My Mind?
And you're like, who's out of their mind? Is it Riley?
Everybody.
Is it Buffy?
It's us, the audience.
Yeah, I'm out of my mind in this episode. All right, out of my mind. Buffy is in a race against time with the physical after effects of Riley being used as a lab rat by the initiative threatens his very life. When Riley stubbornly refuses help and goes into hiding, Buffy reluctantly turns to Spike for help, but he takes advantage of her situation for his own plot to rid his life of the Slayer once and for all. Well, we can talk about this over the course of the episode, but there are so many, like, leftist heroes there's only two referenced in this episode.
But I mean, yeah, compared to the rest of the show,
but
that is so many.
Yeah, and I was like, who the fuck wrote this episode? And is Dawn a communist?
Yeah, because how does a 14-year-old in 2000 know so much about fucking Fidel Castro?
Zines. Maybe Glory. Like, yeah, Glory is a
centerfold of, like, Tiger Beat.
Yeah. Glory is actually a communist. That's, like, a plot that we didn't know about until now. And brought Dawn onto this planet to start a revolution.
Yeah, to plant the seeds of revolution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so she's starting right now. But yeah, it starts right at the beginning. Oh, okay, well, this is the pre-credits. Is like, everybody wants to be a Slayer, which is really funny. Like, there's too many people fighting in the graveyard.
Right.
So Buffy's by herself and she's fighting and killing vampires. And then suddenly, like, Riley comes out of nowhere and he's fighting and killing vampires. And she's like, what are you doing here? And then suddenly Spike comes out who's fighting and killing vampires. And she's like, what the fuck?
What is wrong with you guys? Like, ugh.
And it's funny because, yeah, everybody has, you know, it's like, it's Buffy's job. It used to be Riley's job, and he's kind of listless and bored. And then Spike just needs some yayas.
because that's the only things he can kill mm-hmm. are other vampires and demons. He can't kill human people. Mm-hmm. So you got to take that aggression, you know. Can't take a spin class because they don't have those at night.
They don't. I mean, so, not in Sunnydale. No.
Not in Sunnydale, no.
No. I mean, he's, I guess, getting some of his kicks out by dressing up a mannequin like Buffy and then smacking it like with his foot or whatever.
Yeah,
and,
like, doing a fucking like roundhouse, her. A roundhouse kick.
Yeah.
Pop her head clean off.
Yeah.
I feel bad for him because this is like the second or third time that he did a very cool monologue mm-hmm. that was severely. Oh. Immediately undercut by fucking japes
Pratt
and
falls.
Goops. Yeah, by a fucking
yeah, he has been fully defanged.
Yeah, it just sucks. Like, I want him because he has the capability to be menacing and powerful and terrifying.
Yeah,
but he's just been relegated to like a fucking court jester.
I know, I want my spoik back.
Yeah, I want to have my, you know, fear struck into the very core of my being.
Yeah, I know, it's like getting old. It's like, okay, what, you gotta get your chip out.
Yeah, seriously, you need to start killing shit again.
Yeah, so then there's credits and then Buffy and Willow are talking about the French Revolution and I guess
cool.
Are we to believe that Buffy thinks that Marat was actually attacked by a vampire in the bath?
I think that's what she says. She okay. says it. She says it. It sounded more, like fangy than stabby. Yeah.
It could have been Lestat.
Oh my god!
Right?
Oh, that would be such crossover. Cool, like environmental storytelling.
Yeah, that's a good crossover. and then Willow's like, Robespierre, he was pretty cool, huh? And I was like, hell like, yeah. And then they're like, actually, yeah? No. But, oh well.
Yeah, well.
Of course, I took like a screenshot just of the Robespierre.
Yeah, naturally. Cool. It's like, yes, he was.
Yeah.
I like that they don't take a huge stand on that. It's basically just a you know, a plot point to get them talking. But it's just funny that it's specifically that.
Mm-hmm.
And that they don't, like, you know, make a statement. The same thing with Fidel Castro. Like, they don't say anything about whether or not he was, like, good or bad, quote unquote. They just use him as, like, a fucking setup for a joke.
Yeah.
It's really funny.
I mean, I think Dawn takes a stand because she's like, you know, the CIA did all these things to him.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. She's one of those the truth is out there people.
Yeah.
For sure.
I believe this. Yeah. She probably doesn't have a lot of friends. I don't think you ever see Dawn hanging out with friends.
No, I don't think so.
So she's just sitting in her room reading, I don't know, What Is to Be Done?
Got a huge stack of Tony pancakes.
Yeah, I think it's possible. I don't know.
I believe it. Yeah. I believe it in my heart of hearts.
In communist Dawn. So then we're at the magic shop and there's a very funny back and forth over that, like, that Newt and salamander eyes are the same thing if you're not a snob.
Yeah. Yeah, salamander's like the Walmart brand, like the Equate brand version of Newt eyeball.
You can get it at Aldi.
Yeah.
Like in that weird aisle of Aldi where you can get just like candles and camping equipment,
yeah,
and like underwear.
Yeah, the etc. aisle.
Yeah, the beyond. Yeah, I love that. I think it's so funny. I love, like, just like even the little bits of like business, the business thing of a magic shop, because you're like, yeah, what do they have to like source? And how
I was talking with somebody and they were talking about like actually creating like a magical library and like the concept of that, like loaning out spell books to different branches or whatever.
Oh, wow.
Or like a seed library with different
medicinal cool.
herbs. Mm-hmm. Like that would be so cool.
Yeah, there's a really cool seed library in my dad's in Tucson where my dad lives. It's like mm-hmm. a pretty well-known one. And
nice.
Like the archiving of seed sounds so rad. You know, like yeah. instead of pulling down like a book, you're pulling down like a box of like old, like heirloom corn. So cool. You're like, this yeah. is the corn that, you know, like, I don't know, like grew here 500 years ago. Like that's
right.
Awesome.
Yeah. They didn't even have like a word for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just imagine that with salamander eyes.
Exactly. Different kinds of eyeballs. This is my eyeball archival.
I'm just imagining one of those like dishes where it says like have a penny, leave a penny, take a penny, need a penny, take a penny, but it's eyeballs, like have take an eyeball, leave an eyeball.
Yeah, and you're like, this is a fucking newt. I gave you a salamander.
Yeah, this what is a hell? Ripoff.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Do you think snake eyes are cheaper or more expensive?
Snake eyes are dirt cheap, but they're extremely volatile.
Mm.
Like, you have to be very, very advanced in witchery.
Okay. And then do you think if you buy spider eyes, you get a lot of them? Like, do you get the set? Or do you just buy
like all
one
the different segments?
Time?
Do you think yeah. they, like, desegment the spider
well,
eyes?
Or are you just, like, if you get newt eyes, you get, like, two. But if you buy spider eyes, do you get, like...
40.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm just wondering.
I like the idea of like having to like you rent out crystals, but then you have to recharge their mystical energies, like going to Blockbuster and having to rewind the tape before you bring it back.
Oh my god. The like cursed potentials of having like a crystal lending library.
Oh yeah.
Sounds so bad. I don't know why, but I think about this constantly. There's this like really fancy juice store in LA called Moon Juice. And it's so silly. If you ever want to laugh for a really long time, you should read. There's an article about the things that the owner, whose name is Chantal Bacon, what she eats every day.
Oh,
it's
God.
Like the craziest shit on earth. She'll be like, I ate like a 2 teaspoons of mushroom powder and some brain pearls. And like, it's all nonsensical. Like none of it is food.
Yeah, none of it's food. No.
Yeah. But so for some crazy reason, Father John Misty stole a big crystal from her like Silver Lake store.
John. It's a,
yeah, if you want to get into like deep into some weird just like internet stuff, you should read about the time that Father John Misty stole a crystal from Moon Juice and Silver
from
Lake.
Moon Juice. Oh yeah. My god.
Yeah. But yeah, imagine like how cursed like
right?
Yeah, like some crystals.
Yeah, I don't
would
want
be.
That. Yeah, I don't want that bad vibes.
Yeah.
No, thank you. So then what else happens?
Oh, yeah, what else happens in this episode? Oh, Spike calls Riley an enormous hall monitor.
Yeah.
Which is
that
the best.
Funny.
An incredible insult.
Oh, so good.
Okay. So we get the beginning of the Joy storyline, which is like pretty upsetting now that we know like where it's going.
Yeah.
So Joyce has some sort of
epiphany
moment, fainting spell kind of thing where she looks at Dawn and she's like, who are you?
Right.
What is this?
Yeah, the like illusion or like the dimension like shifting that Glory has done.
Right.
Is and like kind of coming
yeah.
undone.
And then they go to the hospital and we get our first glimpse of Ben, who's going to become a character in season 5.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dawn, for some weird reason, this is like something a 7-year-old would do.
Yeah, it
not
felt
a
14-year-old,
really weird. Like takes Ben's stethoscope, listens to Ben's heart, which is like, it's my computer was like regular heartbeat. And then like Buffy's is like regular heartbeat. And then right. Riley's is irregular heartbeat. And it's like, Riley's is like going buck wild.
A million miles an hour.
And they're like, dude, something is wrong with you. You have tachycardia and you're going to have a heart attack. And he's like, no.
Like, no, I'm not.
No, I'm normal.
I'm Superman.
Yeah. And like, Riley's just being like Buffy calls him a little bitch, basically. But yeah. Like, he thinks that he's not enough for Buffy because now he's just like a dude. And she is getting more powerful all the time.
Right. He's not in the initiative anymore. He's not getting his entire body pumped full of unregulated steroids and other performance enhancing drugs. And then whatever Maggie, oh my God, Walsh, whatever. Yeah. Professor Walsh did to his heart or whatever. And so, yeah, he's not going to be like on equal footing with Buffy anymore. And that's what is like making him push her away, which is like just the worst.
Yeah, it's like night way to take away someone's agency. And like Angel did this to Buffy, too. It's like, you know, make decisions for Buffy as if she's not like an adult.
Yeah, they have, you know, they talk about it at the end. When he like airs all this shit out and Buffy's like, I'm not going to leave you. And he's like, you will eventually. Yeah. And it's like, what the fuck?
I mean, if you keep talking like that, I will. That. Yeah. Like,
yeah. Your actions are literally a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right. Like, 'cause then she'll leave him and he'll be like, I told you. And you're like, I only left you because you're so annoying.
Yeah. Seriously.
like. Get a grip, Riley. Like, she has told you that she loves you.
Yeah. Just insane.
Yeah. It's very frustrating.
Yeah.
And he is being a little bitch. And
totally.
Like, it's like just a guy who, like, won't go to the doctor to, like, get something checked out. Like, come on, dude. Who are you, my dad?
Yeah. That's, you know? I literally was about to say, I was like, I mean, there are people like that. Like, yeah. My dad in particular.
Yeah, I feel like it's like a boomer guy thing.
Yeah.
To just be like, whatever, it's just a bump, you know, and you're
yeah,
like,
yeah, no, it's fine. I'm not going to, you know.
Yeah. It's also a Kate Terry thing, but
oh, yeah, we can
talk about that at another time.
Oh, yeah. I probably won't go to a doctor if anything's wrong with me.
Yeah, it takes me a long time to, like, finally just, like, give in because mm-hmm. I'm really stubborn about certain things, but. So I get it, but also, like, he is being a douche.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, totally unreasonable.
Like, he should at least own up to the fact that he's like, hey, I know this is, like, a really stupid, stubborn thing on my part, and I'm working on it, but, like, and it's not your fault, it's my fault, which is what I would do, you know, like.
Yeah, as a rational human being with a working brain.
Like, yeah. Yeah, it's just really stupid. And, like, he's lucky that Buffy still is like, I'm going to help you regardless. Like, I'm going to help you get to the doctor.
No matter how you're acting, I'm still going to, like, keep you from not dying.
Right. And then there's, like, kind of a convoluted thing that I didn't quite get where, like, Buffy pays Spike to, like, find Riley and, like, tell him to go to the doctor.
Riley is hiding in the, like, ruined, burnt-out tunnels of the initiative.
Right, right.
And Spike was in the initiative for a really long time, so he knew that area, like, the layout or whatever, pretty well. Yeah. So, but, like, Buffy did, too.
Buffy,
like, she
too. That's the thing I don't understand. So. Yeah.
It was just a ploy, like, a weak plot to get Spike involved so that they could have that punch at the end, I feel like.
Yeah. I mean,
he didn't
Buffy
really need to be there.
Yeah, she had, like, maps of the initiative.
Yeah.
Like, the times that they, like, came in, they, like, figured out how to get in various different ways. Like,
yeah,
I don't
absolutely.
Understand why Spike would know it better than her. But, yeah, you're right. It's, like, a moving the plot forward so that, like, Yeah. Spike and Harmony can go in and like get Spike's chip taken out.
Harmony's so funny. She's like
really good in this
fully
episode.
Convinced that Buffy is gunning for her.
I know.
They have absolutely forgotten that she even exists.
Yeah. And she's like so smoking cigarettes because that's what super villains do, which
yeah,
is incredible.
She's like, I'm a villain now. That's what villains do.
And she's the one carrying the crossbow, but she keeps like misfiring.
Yeah, she shoots Riley in the leg.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
It's really good. And then like I really did not, so like the doctor takes out the chip, Spike's chip, or does he?
Ooh.
And I guess he just like throws a nickel in like
just
a cup to make it seem like he
make
took
it sound chip like that.
But it's like, what does this doc? I don't know. Part of me is like, what does this doctor care? Just take out his fucking chip.
Just take it out. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
But So Spike thinks that his chip is out and he and Buffy like go to town on each other. hate fighting, not
hatefully,
hate fucking. Yeah.
Hatefully.
And then he like tries to bite her and is like, ah, and like finds out the chip is still in her. And then at the very last minute, they're like, oh, fuck, we have to get Riley operated on.
Yeah, because he's fully like convulsing now.
Yeah.
But do you know what bothered me about that whole situation?
What?
They made such a big deal about the fact that it's like in his brain stem, like in the back of his head.
Yeah.
And then they're operating, the doctor is operating on him and he's operating on like the crown of his head.
Oh yeah,
like his brain,
Spike would like, have his the top of his head off.
Yeah.
Like,
and Harmony even like talks about like seeing the brain and like like fucking poking at it like an idiot.
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay, I'm just going with it. I've lost any will to like try and make this work,
like they pulled something deep out of his brain supposedly and then he gets up and fights like a minute later.
Yeah.
And then same thing with Riley, like he got some thing taken out of his body to fix him because he was having a heart attack and now he's
out of
just,
his
like,
pecs. Yeah,
walking. Oh yeah, his titty.
Yeah,
he got the
that's
weird
where,
thing
that's
in
where
his
brain
taken
is
out. Yeah,
his brain is in his titties. I mean, same.
Yeah, same. It's like, okay, whatever, that's fine, you guys all get up again, you're good, you're like young and in shape, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, Spike's not alive technically.
Yeah, that's
so
true,
he can get stuff done to him.
I guess it's more likely that Spike could get up right away,
right?
Like,
yeah, and like
human,
have all of his faculties.
Yeah, because Riley is after all just a man.
He's just a normal man.
Mm-hmm.
Just
a regular old man. A regular old man. And then, best part of the whole episode, I just wrote, hate, fuck, hate, fuck, hate, fuck.
Dude, do you know what I wrote?
What?
I wrote, because I had my headphones in while I was listening.
Yeah.
I was like, the breaths are so loud. Like, just the hot and heavy, like, panting was so loud.
Yeah.
I was literally, like, just, I had, like, a physical reaction, just like, oh.
Ooh, yes, Daddy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. This is, like, you know, I know there's a lot of Buffy-Spike problems, but, like, I am very much a Buffy-Spike shipper, I guess.
Because of this.
I just like think they're like, they have a lot of like raw sexual energy.
Oh yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I don't
think
they should like settle down. But in Spike's crypt.
You want them to just
I don't think they should decorate Spike's crypt. But I want them to fuck in like a coffin and like they do and like break everything
up.
And yeah, like break walls while they're banging and you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Has this ever I have had this happen to me, I think, once.
I'm very interested to hear where the rest of the sentence
Not
goes.
Like with a vampire.
Oh, okay.
But I just had like something happen once where I was like so mad at someone. Like, it was like someone that I was in grad school with, and he just like riled me up in a way that I was like annoyed with him, and I was like fighting with him for like hours. And then I got home and I was like, I'm so horny. And like didn't realize it. And then I had like a sex dream about him and I was like,
fuck. Oh no.
Yeah. But usually I don't like have hate fuck kind of like feelings about anyone.
No. Yeah. No, me neither.
Yeah.
I don't have many hate feelings because I'm just like a big dumb golden retriever of a person. I have had dreams where like or like situations where like I am friends with somebody, but then I'll have a sex dream about them.
Yeah.
And like had no feelings for them whatsoever. Like have yeah. no fucking clue. Same. Never thought about them that way. But then just randomly have a sex dream about them. And then I'm like, oh, well, maybe I see them differently now. And then like develop crushes on them after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, you know, come on.
Yeah. The subconscious, you know, their heart wants what their heart wants, I guess.
That's true. The heart does want. Yeah. It's not the heart though.
No, not in that case.
But yeah, so Spike is like, he has this insanely sexy dream about Buffy where he's like, take me out of a world that has you in it, just kill me. And he rips off his shirt for her to like spike him,
whips it out.
And then
that's only
like,
happened in some fan fiction I read.
Yeah. And yeah, then yeah, and then like, they're just like, oh my god. Yeah. Yeah, and it's like really, yeah. Yeah, season 5 is horny. I think like that's another thing. Season 5 is like not, it's not like high school horny anymore. It's adult horny.
Yeah, it's real like, yeah, it's just real raw
mm-hmm.
shit, you know?
Yeah, it's not even college because it's like, they're barely in college.
Yeah, let's be real. They had to have that fucking scene where Buffy and Willow were talking about school to remind you that they are still
yeah,
in school.
Because I forgot for a little bit. I was like, did Buffy drop out?
Yeah.
I don't remember. But
no,
yeah.
I loved it.
These are good. And then we're going to start getting into like the thick of season 5 soon.
The thick of it. I can't wait.
Big Bad is coming.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah. I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. any last, any parting words?
Let's see. I mean, I guess if you have a chance to fuck your body double, do it. Yeah.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, okay.
Oh, I thought it was funny that Buffy says if she wanted to date a powerful man, she'd date Spike. I was like, we get it. The irony, we get it.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I'm excited to see that desert rose bloom.
That blossom. yeah.
Well... All right, let's get out of here before Kate starts thinking about that a little too hard.
I know, I gotta go. It's getting too hot in here, and I mean it. I don't have air conditioning
seriously.
in my side room.
Yeah, I'm literally dying. I have to immediately go turn my window AC back on or I will fucking melt to death.
Yeah, we don't want anyone melting.
So thank you for listening to another episode of Fangs for the Memories. You can check all of our social media links, Patreon link, and episodes that you can download from your whatever podcast listening app you choose. You can check it all out at fangs.zone.
Yeah.
And we'll catch you next time on Fangs for the Memories.
See ya, suckers.